So returning to John's Gospel and chapter 15, these last few weeks since Pentecost, we've been reflecting on the work of the Holy Spirit. And yes, I'll explain in just a minute. So John's Gospel, chapter 15, if you have got a church Bible, this is on page 1084. Reading from verse 26, so right towards the end of chapter 15, down to verse 16. It says this, John 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Amen. We thank God for this reading and we pray that the written word might be to us the living word of God. So reflecting on the Holy Spirit and today the heading, or the title, Jesus, the Main Thing. Jesus, the Main Thing. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you part one. You remember the blessing, you know, that I don't think I'd ever blessed you with. I gave you only half a sermon, you know. I mean, it was going to be a very long sermon 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. But I blessed you by cutting it in half. You know, just sharing, spreading the blessing out. And Jesus is the main thing. Now, I put this up to quote from a man by the name of Stephen Covey. I think it's a great quote. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Stephen Covey wrote a book. I don't know. It was really big. Did you ever come across it, anybody? Something like The 7 Habits of the Successful Person or something like that. None of us read that. Maybe that explains a lot. I didn't read it, you know. It's one of those books that everybody else was going, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And that, you know, that's a great reason not to read it, probably. But he made this point, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And it is so easy within our lives, within the life of the church within our lives at home or at work or in our families and so on, to forget what the main thing is. And the main thing for us is our allegiance to Jesus. You know, as we began our service, the questions that we face about all the things that are going on in the world, things that we don't have answers for, things that we have more questions about than anything else. It's so difficult sometimes, almost through a fog, to say, what is the main thing? What must I be doing? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing for us is Jesus. And these chapters in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus begins to tell his disciples, I'm not going to be with you forever. I'm going to leave you. But I'm going to make sure that the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to you. And he gives him the name, the Advocate, the one who comes alongside you to defend you, to guide you, to give you inspiration, to give you wisdom in difficult circumstances, to help you see through the fog. He will come and be with you. And in these circumstances, we recognize that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us, to remind us and to help us. Now, we looked last time, the Father is always with us. And we need that reminder. The Holy Spirit comes to us to remind us that the Father is always with us by the Holy Spirit. And then also we've reflected, we can learn to live like Jesus. And we might think that living like Jesus is, you know, beyond us. It's impossible for us. The Holy Spirit comes to us to encourage us and to remind us. You can begin to learn to live like Jesus, taking the teaching of Jesus and taking the values and the lifestyle of Jesus and applying them into your own life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us, to help us and encourage us. And that's what we looked at last time. Today, we're going to think about, we can witness about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us to remind us and help us. We can witness about Jesus. And then this last one, we can reflect Jesus to others. And these are all words of encouragement that Jesus gives to his disciples. Jesus saying, I'm not going to be with you forever, but it's okay, because the Spirit is going to come, the Advocate, or sometimes we talk about the Counselor, the one who comes from God, the Spirit of Truth, is going to help you to be a witness about Jesus and to reflect Jesus to others. So, firstly, we can witness about Jesus. In our reading today, John's Gospel, chapter 15, right at the end, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And so we're told, the Spirit of Truth, Jesus says, he will testify about Jesus. And then Jesus says, and you also must testify. Or witness, it's the same word. The same word is actually used of a martyr. Who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen. Stephen, we're told, witnessed to the Lord Jesus and died as a result. He testified, he witnessed to who Jesus was, and he was stoned as a result. And that's a great encouragement, I think, to us, to be a witness. And that's what Jesus says, the Spirit will come and the Spirit will testify, who will witness about Jesus within us, and we also will witness. So what is the Spirit's testimony? What is this that the Spirit testifies about Jesus? Well, in verse 26 of John 14, so an earlier chapter, Jesus says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And this is the Spirit's testimony. This is the Spirit within us, working powerfully in us to remind us about Jesus and to help us apply Jesus into our lives. And this reminding about Jesus will remind you of everything I have said to you. I remember, a million years ago, probably when I was in my teens, I remember something called the Charismatic Renewal was happening. Anybody else old enough to remember that? But it was a big deal. And when the Charismatic Renewal swept through, and it was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, and the church of which I was a part was deeply impacted by just this sense of the freshness of the presence of God, intimacy with God, and we experienced the love of God in ways that perhaps we'd never imagined before. And many people would ask for prayer, and as they were prayed for, they apparently lost every ability to stand, and they would fall down on the floor, and some people would speak in tongues, and we saw people healed and miracles doing all sorts of things. And we recognized that this whole experiencing the presence of the Spirit was very attractive. And so many people were being prayed for, and they were falling down, and then they were getting up, and that was good. You know, why was it good? Well, I fell down, you know. That was it. It was good. You know, so next week, go forward, pray. I fell down. Yeah, was it good for you? Yeah, I fell down. You know, whatever. And I remember the minister got wind of what was happening. And he said, look, if your head is empty when you hit the floor, your head will be empty when you get up. Right? If your head is empty when you hit the floor, your head will be empty when you get up. And what he meant was, the Spirit will remind you, now this word remind you, of everything I've said. If you know nothing about Jesus, if you have not bothered to read the Gospels and reflect about Jesus and sought to take hold of the teaching and example of Jesus into your own mind, and your head is empty of the things of Jesus, falling to the floor is not going to suddenly fill your mind with the things about Jesus. The Spirit can only remind us of things we've already been told. Is that right? Isn't that the principle? You know, the Spirit can only remind us of things we have already been told, already read. And that's what Jesus is saying. So we take time to read and reflect and study and work, and we make an effort ourselves that the Spirit might be able to remind us. And so the Spirit reminds us about Jesus, reminding you of everything I've said. And then this applying Jesus into our lives. What does it mean? I've learned all this stuff about Jesus. I know the teaching of Jesus. I know the lifestyle and the example of Jesus. I know the values of Jesus. I know how he loved and had compassion and mercy. How do I apply that? How do I apply that? And that's the teaching you all things. This is how the Spirit comes to us and says, you know all this stuff about Jesus. Apply it. Jesus tells the story once about a man who goes on a journey from Jerusalem out to Jericho. You know the story? Gets set upon by thieves, and he's beaten up and left for dead. And, you know, a Levi priest goes past, doesn't want anything to do. Another priest goes past, doesn't want anything to do with this bloodied body. And then we're told a Samaritan goes past and responds. And what is, we can say, what might be happening there is there is a man who walks along that road who perhaps we might say could be us. And we've learnt all about Jesus. And we can take the exam on Jesus. But there comes a point where we are faced with need. We see the man in the ditch. We see the person in need. And that's when the Holy Spirit gets to work saying, this is how to apply what you know about Jesus in love and mercy and compassion. And so this is the Spirit's testimony in us, active in us, powerfully reminding us about Jesus and helping us to apply Jesus in our everyday lives. But of course, that's not all. Because as we noted, the Spirit of Truth will testify about me. That's the Spirit working in us to remind us and to teach us about Jesus. But you also must testify. Now, I've just hinted at that. Our testimony. What does our testimony look like? What does it look like in our workplaces? What does it look like in our homes? What does it look like when we're exercising our hobbies or when we're with our friends? What it's about is because the Spirit is working in us and just saying, remember Jesus, apply Jesus. We are living advertisements of Jesus. We are living advertisements of Jesus. We are the billboards for Jesus. This is how people come to know Jesus, is because they see what is happening through us. We name the name of Jesus and we say we hold our allegiance to Jesus. And this is what it looks like. Love, kindness, compassion, mercy, generosity. And so what is our testimony? It is living advertisements for Jesus. Our confession, perhaps, sometimes, is that the advertisement that we present is not always a great example of Jesus. Yeah? Maybe our confession that people through our actions, through our words, they may not discover Jesus. And that, isn't that true? You know, much as we wouldn't like that to be true, sometimes it is true. And we need to confess that to God and pray. You know, I don't want to be that negative advertisement. I don't want to turn people away. I want to attract people. I want people to see in me something of the beauty of Christ. Jesus is the main thing, and we can witness about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us to remind us and help us. This final point, we can reflect Jesus to others. We can do it. We can be those living advertisements. Now Jesus says to the disciples in the passage that we read, unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now that passage goes on where Jesus kind of unpacks those statements about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness or justice because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now, as I've been reflecting and praying over this particular passage, something struck me really powerfully that caused me to pause and just reflect again. And I've highlighted two words twice. You see, I don't know if you can see the words I've highlighted. It didn't show up very well. Can you, anybody spot the words that I've highlighted? To you. Okay. As I read, I've read kind of John 14, 15, 16, goodness knows how many times over the last few weeks. And the number of times that Jesus speaks about the Spirit coming to the disciples, I found quite striking. And the Spirit is God's gift to, I've highlighted the two, is God's gift to the disciples. Now, why do I say this? It's because I guess I've always read these words. When he comes, when the Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And the way I've, you know, I'll just do a bit of moving. I've always kind of imagined that it's a bit like I'm over here and the Spirit is working in me. The Spirit is testifying in me about Jesus. And I'm doing my thing, seeking to be a living advertisement where I am. And I've always imagined that the Spirit is kind of over here as well, separate from me, active in the world, proving the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Yeah? That's what I've always thought, that the Spirit is powerfully at work in that way. And I don't want to completely dismiss that idea, that the Spirit is at work, because in John's Gospel chapter 3, when Jesus meets with Nicodemus, and there is this fascinating conversation about the life and the soul of Nicodemus, Jesus says the Spirit blows wherever he will. So the Spirit clearly is active wherever. But within John's Gospel 14, 15, and 16, Jesus emphasizes the Spirit is coming to you. Never once does he say the Spirit is coming to the world. In fact, he says the world cannot receive him, the Spirit. The world doesn't understand and rejects what God has for them. And so I count it up, and I think there are some of these are repeated in those passages, but Jesus speaks about the Spirit being with you, the Spirit being in you, the Spirit will teach you, the Spirit will remind you, the Spirit whom God will send to you will come to you, the Spirit will to you to guide you, to tell you, to make known to you. And these to you constantly is emphasized again and again and again. And I want to make this suggestion that what God will do in the Holy Spirit for the world, he will do through disciples of Jesus. What God will do in the Holy Spirit for the world, he will do through disciples of Jesus. Okay. Now, I'm not dismissing that the Holy Spirit is, who knows what the Holy Spirit's doing in the world. But this passage, John's Gospel 14, 15, 16, seems to be Jesus saying what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the world. The Holy Spirit proving the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. How's the Holy Spirit going to do it? He's going to do it through you. You're going to be the way in which God is going to impact the world. Confession. Here I am, being blessed by God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing the presence and the love and the compassion of God. And I kind of think, I'm glad the Spirit is over here, active in the world, because it means I don't have to be. You know, the Spirit is going to be doing all that stuff. Because, you know, I'm over here being blessed by God. And I think Jesus certainly speaks to me as I share with you the emphasis that Jesus gives to his disciples is the Spirit's coming to you so that what God is going to do in the world, he's going to do through you. Now, we know through the early years of the church, God did powerful, powerful things through the disciples. It was as if wherever they went, that's where the Spirit was active. May we have that encouragement that we, seeking to be disciples of Christ, we are living embodiments of Jesus in the world and for the world. Personally, I'm encouraged that God would grant the blessing of the Holy Spirit so that as I read and reflect and meditate upon the scriptures, as I seek to imbibe the life and the teaching of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work in me and through me. Often I think, without me even knowing, there is that sharing of the Holy Spirit with others. And may that be our encouragement today as we reflect on all that God has for us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together. I'm going to invite us all to stand together as we pray. Can we do that? And let's just pause, let's hold ourselves before God in our prayer. Father, thank you that you do not hold back when we ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray now that as we hold ourselves before you, you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We come as we are. Some feeling great courage, some feeling broken, some feeling in deep need. We come just as we are, Father, asking you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Spirit, come. Spirit, come upon us and fill us. May we experience your touch. May we experience the Father's love. May we experience the well done. May we know the Father's pleasure. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, fill our lives. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.